just trying to change the world here, people.
Oh, really?
The Facebooking and the tweeting and the Instagramming, all that would not exist without our understanding of science.
So it's amazing that you do that as an insult.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else? Have
yeah,
to
absolutely,
to
because
you.
I can't
think either got to be true or not.
I can't, no.
Avast ye. It's International Talk Like a Pirate Day here on Order Really Radio Show 24 for Friday, September 19th, 2014. I am your host, Captain Andy, and we have First Mate Michael.
Yar!
And a scurvy bilge rat known as Don.
Arr.
Welcome to the show.
So, from last week, we had had a couple of little errata things, the iPhone 6 and the Apple iWatch. I said that they weren't water-resistant. Oh, look, I was wrong. They are, quote, splash-resistant. So, yeah. Okay, that's all I got. All right, on to the news and stuff. Wired had an article about an ant-sized radio powered by the messages it receives. This thing's really stupidly small. I'm not sure how any of this works. This is mad scientist kind of stuff here. Have you guys seen this?
It's tiny. It's sitting on the end of Lincoln's nose on a penny.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, it's from the tip of his nose to where his hairline begins. I mean, it's just this big on a penny. It's just ridiculous. So this is designed for the Internet of Things, which if you're not into that, that's basically wiring up your house and everything around you so that it's all attached to the Internet, so it can either provide you feedback or you can control it in one way or another. It's basically the beginning of Skynet, where robots will rule us all and crush us underneath their strange metal alloy heels.
The machines are becoming sentient. This is how Maximum Overdrive started.
Yeah, it's true. Well, that was something like aliens controlling it or something. I remember Maximum Overdrive.
I vaguely remember Maximum Overdrive.
That was a Stephen King short story that they turned into this Emilio Estevez movie. I like it because they had, you know, of course everything's coming to life, you know, everything, all the lawnmowers are killing people, and then it centers around, why am I telling the story?
It's so awful, you just can't help but love it.
Okay, well, the jukebox tries to kill people, the vending machines are throwing cans at people, they're trapped in a truck stop, and of course then you've got big rigs that are, you know, hunting people, and they've got this great big rig that's got like this Joker face on it. So that's the most iconic thing ever. And you know how they get away? Spoilers alert. They sail away on a ship. They go out to a harbor and find a sailboat and just sail away. No electronics. Fuck all. Fuck all sailors.
They don't have to ever come to shore. So.
Yeah, they don't say, you know, about how it. Actually, I guess they did have like some text trailer at the end saying, you know, what actually happened. Yeah, so, yeah. Fun times. Fun times.
It doesn't matter what actually happened, because the movie is just horrible.
It is, so, but, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Watch it, get drunk, and enjoy.
The radio thing, though?
Yes.
Back actually to the story.
Oh, that thing,
this seems like a, this seems kind of like a, like they're paring down or refining RFID stuff to make it two-way.
It's very much RFID because it is powered by the communication. So if you've ever had one of those, an ID badge or something that you had to hold up to a reader, there's no active electronics in that. It's basically getting the power from an antenna that's sending out a frequency to it that is then energizing another antenna in the device, and then that powers the chip and sends back a ping reply.
Yeah,
you know, very simple stuff.
Yeah, this concept is not particularly new. It's just hard to do in really small devices. I mean, you can do this with audio signals, with crystals, piezoelectricity, and make sound-powered walkie-talkies, essentially, which, you know, we've been doing for years. This is a pretty cool refinement of that process.
Yeah,
we've got it down so freaking small.
Definitely the smallest thing I've seen. It's really interesting. I mean, they're talking that it's only really viable for, you know, short range transmission of about like 20 inches or something like that. But that's still a big leap from the standard HID stuff. I mean, there's some really high power ones that are used for like gate controls where that you've got a transponder on your bumper. And well, actually, you've probably seen them in SunPass and ePass and FastPass and all those things where now they just have a sticker that they put on your windshield. That's the same thing, but those emitters,
those are big stickers.
Yeah, exactly. So the bigger the sticker, the more energy it can bring in from the radio signal and can power the chip. These suckers are itty bitty super tiny. So this is really a step smaller, but forward, big step forward. What are they going to do with them? And then you get all the tinfoil hattery and everything like that. Imagine you've got these little chips. They're so small, and you put them in like your shoes or something. And anytime you walk through a doorway or something, it's registering that this guy with his pair of shoes has walked in the building or whatever. You know, you could do that. That'd be pretty easy. Walking across any of those mats out front of a Walmart or any store at all ever.
Yeah, but they've already got cameras trained on their. They've already got. If we're gonna go tip full tip format here, this is nothing to worry about because they've already got cameras trained on the doors, and the CIA obviously has their whole facial recognition database, so they know where you are at all times. So this is going to be nothing new, really.
Yeah, and it even goes, you know, big steps forward from that too. Because we're also all pretty much all of us are carrying around a cell phone now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's being triangulated all the time by all the towers. So your carrier knows where you are at all times. People seem to ignore this fact conveniently. You know, no big deal, right? Anyway.
Price of the information age.
Yeah.
And go watch Enemy of the State and just enjoy Will Smith jumping around rooftops.
Yeah, go watch that bullshit because that movie is like 5% real science and 95% absolute horseshit.
There's an awful lot more reality involved in that.
Maybe it's more than 5% real, but it's still there's a lot of just really just.
They take it to another level, certainly.
Real leaps of creative license there.
Hey, but what happens with creative license? That's how we have iPads. That's how we have cell phones. When you go back to the 1960s, and what do you have? You got frickin' Star Trek there.
Yep.
You know, oh, look, it's communicator. Oh, that's actually my Nextel phone now. You know, that kind of thing.
I have my data pad with me at all times.
Yeah, see? Exactly. Exactly. So these things... it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. Dream it up, and some scientist somewhere will say, hey, that's a cool idea. I'm going to go build that now. And they do. And that's why we have now scientists engineer bacteria to produce renewable energy.
So, brilliant!
Yeah, it is pretty brilliant. Researchers have successfully engineered E. coli, which exists in all of us, really, to generate renewable energy, engine-ready propane.
Love it.
Now, of course, it's only being done right now in a petri dish. So obviously this is not going to, you know, solve any fuel shortages anytime soon. But it is a biological entity living and creating a petroleum product that we can use. So take that to a next logical progression and you get enormous vats of E. coli. Wait, that just sounds bad, doesn't it, though? Enormous vats of E. coli.
Isn't creating E. coli
propane?
Like,
disease.
It's, well, yeah, but there's many varieties of E. coli. So, I mean, there's some E. coli that is just naturally resident in our gut all the time.
Normally it is a normal symbiotic relationship in the intestines of most mammals.
The bacteria cells produce propane gas, but then the researchers can cheaply and easily transform this into a liquid that can be stored and transported. Fossil fuels are a finite resource, says one of the researchers. And as our population continues to grow, we are going to have to come up with new ways to meet increasing energy demands. It is a sustainable challenge, however, to develop a renewable process that is low cost and economically sustainable. At the moment, algae can be used to make biodiesel, but it is not commercially viable as harvesting and processing requires a lot of energy and money. Yeah, that's true. I've been following the algae biodiesel processing thing for a while, and it's not there. It's just not there yet. Don't know why, but I guess they have not bioengineered the algae to basically immediately produce the product they need. So the researchers said, well, we can do that with E. coli. So taking almost all of that big processing step right out of the window. And if they manage to seal all these vats of E. coli, then they're all just pumping out propane gas all the time. You just siphon it right off the top of the tank. And then put it into liquefied form.
If your colon is happy, you'll have more gas.
This is true. What is it? Yeah, beans, the magical fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel. So let's have beans with every meal.
Plus, they're delicious. I mean, come on.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure what they're feeding the E. coli, but I'm sure that it's not that bad. So this is just one more advance that we're going to see. And, of course, they always put in, I hope over the next 5 to 10 years, of course, it's always 5 to 10 years. Everything is 5 to 10 years away. Have you noticed that? The future is always 5 to 10 years away.
I'm pretty sure when you become a big fancy scientist, they give you this little book of rules. And one of the rules you have to follow is every time you announce something new, you have to say it's 5 to 10 years off.
Right. Yeah, and also people familiar with the matter, or
yep,
yeah. There's definitely this usual kind of word salad that gets used.
There's a code that they have to follow.
Yeah,
this code is more what you call guidelines than actual rules.
Exactly, and if you read enough of it, you figure out the code. So. So that's something cool, something that we can really get behind. And then, of course, there's these people on bicycles. We call them cyclists.
Okay.
You know, they're obviously that's a good thing. And some of them go ahead and race because we're humans and we like to compete.
You like to compete for no good reason.
Exactly. So Colombian women's cycling team have an unfortunate new uniform. It's interesting because the top, you know, has kind of the same, you know, from like mid-rift up, it looks like any Olympic athlete kind of a one piece unitard thing. And then beneath the legs, you know, on the thighs, you know, it has the same color pattern. And then right there in the midsection through groin is flesh colored.
Which is just
solid flesh colored. So the contours of these rather fit women creates shadows on this flesh colored background that makes it look like you're just staring at their vaginas. I mean, I'm just going to put it right there. That's what it looks like.
It's true.
Yeah.
But
when lit from above,
question,
Bush.
Who designed this thing? Who looked at this on a concept sketch somewhere and said, yes, this is a good idea. This is what I want to make. Let's do it. What was he on at the time?
Key there. Probably was a he.
I'm absolutely certain it was a he, because most people in the fashion design business are, surprisingly enough, are male.
Yes. And no. But I mean, I know plenty of fashion designers that are female.
The gap is closing in recent years, but
I will say that most
dominated industry for a long time.
Well, this is true. However, many of those males in that male dominated industry were also gay.
True.
So
I mean, another mitigating factor.
There is a mitigating factor in that particular industry. Obviously, there's plenty of heterosexuals on both sides of the fence, and plenty of gender flexible people out there as well. But yeah, this is just unacceptable from just a basic design principle.
Seriously,
you
how did this get past the drawing board?
Yeah, and not only that. Okay, they're Colombian, so the flesh tone that they have isn't even their own.
No, it's not.
It's paler than that. Maybe that's what they were trying to get away with. But really, if you just kind of out of focus yourself, yeah, it looks like it's clear. Honestly.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it just especially what they're going with, essentially a skin tight bodysuit.
Yeah.
Because they're an athlete.
Yeah. Not leaving very little to the imagination.
It doesn't make any sense.
In fact, it doesn't take anything to fill in with your imagination what's going on in this picture. So, it's just so stupid. And there's press photos of them all gathered around, and they're all, like, seemingly either oblivious or proud of it.
Can't
tell what.
And, you know, good on them. If that's how they feel, if they're just ignoring it and saying, whatever, we don't give a shit, we're going to do our thing, then good on them.
Yeah. But, you know, there's – okay, we're very prudish about sex and overtly sexual things in the United States.
It's true.
You know, it's from our puritanical background being founded by people that wanted to get away so they could practice their more – rigorous religions and get away from people that told them not to. You know, it's just part of the fundamentals of how we've grown up as a country. Sad as it may be, where in Germany, after 11 o'clock, there are topless talk show hosts. Just on normal television, not even like cable access or anything. They're just there. And obviously they're very popular. Now, of course, here in the States, no, we have to pay extra for that. So.
And people
that's
do.
That's the money-making scheme.
Yeah, here it is. Yeah. We have turned our puritanical principles into patriarchal capitalism.
Yeah.
If that's a thing.
It's always say, follow the money.
Yeah. Definitely follow the money. So, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's just okay in Colombia. Maybe they just didn't even think twice about it. But that's not what I'm hearing so far. So, anyway, on September 12th, an article came out on the Pathos website under Hemet Mehta's Friendly Atheist blog. Scientists have discovered a fossil of an ancient crocoduck. Your move, Kirk Cameron. So, Kirk Cameron.
Checkmates.
Exactly, yeah. Now, for those of you out there that have not been following some of the more ultra-right-wing conservative creationist mumbo-jumbo stuff from... This is from, in 2007, you know, 7 years ago now, so it's been out there, so hopefully you've probably heard of it before, but I'm going to go ahead and explain it because it's one of those things that you have to set it up in order to even understand it.
It merits explanation because it's just that fucking out there.
Yeah, so on Nightline, which I guess, is that show even still around? I don't know, I cut cable. But anyway, Kirk Cameron, who was a star on Growing Pains? Was it Growing Pains? I'm trying to remember where he even came from. It was either Family Ties or Growing Pains.
I'm looking.
Nice family sitcoms. It was a good show. Good show.
He was on Growing Pains.
Well, he's gone full creationist now. And as if you're not sure what a creationist is, though if you live in the United States, I'm surprised if you don't. Creationists believe in the very literal word of you know, the first book of the Bible, Genesis, about the creation of everything. You know, and they've even gone as far as saying there was an archbishop that counted up all the lifespans all the way back to Adam and figured out that the world is a little over 6,000 years old based on the chronology in the Bible. So if you're really, really super, super fundamentalist and a creationist, that's the timeline for everything. And they try to cram every scientific discovery since the beginning of time somewhere in that 6,000 year timeline. Yeah, I know. It's kind of crazy, right? Anyway.
There were so many things wrong with that. It would probably take a whole show just to sort that out.
It would take a whole show just to unpack it, and then another show to go through it.
To pick it through.
And then another show to throw out a lot more, and then 18 more shows to actually go through and debunk every one of their freaking claims. Not that I've done the math or anything. Anyway.
We've been over some of this.
Yeah, we have. And, you know, so with Kirk Cameron, he went on the O'Reilly Factor, Bill O'Reilly, as we know and love and hate him, and explained that evolution was nonsense because there were no transitional fossils to be found. And then, as if that wasn't stupid enough, because we have plenty of transitional fossils, he then went on to claim that if evolution were true, we would see a hybrid between a crocodile and a duck. And then he actually showed a picture of a crocoduck. A duck with a crocodile head.
Nice Photoshop job.
It is definitely a Photoshop job. So, yeah, really. I thought it was crazy then. I really did. And then scientists came along. And the largest predatory dinosaur ever was a half duck, half crocodile. New fossil discovery. It's Spinosaurus aegypticus. Yeah. I'm sorry. I haven't.
Spinosaurus aegypticus?
Yes. Thank you. That.
That. How you say that?
As long as you say it with some authority, it's true.
Spinosaurus aegypticus.
Done. What that man there said is true.
I'm very good at saying things with authority.
There you go. There you go. I lost it because it just wasn't working. So, University of Chicago paleontologist Paul Cerno is part of a team of researchers that was finally able to reconstruct Spinosaurus in full using newly discovered fossils and information gathered from the dinosaur's initial discovery. A German paleontologist named Ernst Stromer, according to their reconstruction published today in Science, Spinosaurus, that word, was a gigantic fish-eating, water-paddling marvel, one that, in Cerno's words, was a chimera, half-duck, half-crocodile. Checkmate, Kirk Cameron. So really, don't say something and then expect scientists not to just come along and just ruin your entire day. Because it happens. And, of course, really, the argument from ignorance, which is basically most of the creationists' trope, is, oh, look, there's no transitional fossils. If this was true, then there'd be this. And then we find that. And then they say, well, what about from that to that? So as soon as you find something that fills in the gap, and effectively, in their minds, you've only created two more gaps.
Yeah.
And so, you guys know nothing. Really. So.
There's just tons of reasons why there are holes in the fossil record, because the conditions on the planet were not right at the time to create fossils.
Yeah, it's difficult to create a fossil.
Yeah.
In fact, if you actually ask them what a fossil was, most of them are going to say it's a bone. But it's not a bone. Mm-hmm. It is a corpse that has been it has been turned into mineral deposits. Every last little piece of carbon that is in a body would be slowly changed, and basically it becomes a rock. In some situations, the skin itself will become rock.
it turns to stone. It turns to a different kind of stone than the stone around it, which was why we can find them.
Yeah. Just mineralization, calcification.
Yeah, because bones are organic tissue. Organic tissue ain't going to survive.
Exactly. So it has to become something else. So.
Yeah.
So really, if they really wanted to just completely throw it all out, it's they're rocks that look like creatures. But, you know, hey, it works. So, oh, don't deny science, because then science will just deny you. So, speaking of things dying, this is a little discussion topic here. A man in Flagler Beach died, and his neighbors weren't really sure what to do, because, well, his body was found 10 days after he died. Or roughly in that time frame. That's not really the important part of the story. The important part of the story is they don't know who's supposed to clean up the mess.
Well, that is kind of important.
It is.
Yeah.
It seems a little. At first, I was kind of like, really, guys, that's what you're fussing over. It seems kind of callous when you at first, but when you really think about it, no, dead body and all the stuff it leaves behind. That's a real concern, and it's not just because of the smell. It smells because there's all sorts of things in there that can make us sick. That's why things smell bad. So it's one of those evolutionary response deals.
Rod Gorman Jr.
So, you know, it is a real concern.
Yeah. Rod Gorman Jr., 57, a retired teacher and coach from Pinellas County, had died. His body had been in the condo for, quote, a while. Eventually, Gorman's body was removed, and the unit was boarded up. A week later, though, Zaccaro and other of the neighborhood residents were surprised that they could still smell the body. People were complaining. She said it was affecting neighbors. I mean, the one day you could see all the flies in the back of the door, the sliding glass door, it's not nice. The odor was still apparent on Wednesday. Captain Matt Dory of the Flagler Beach Police Department said Wednesday that he was unaware that there was still an issue at the scene. That's not surprising, because once you board something up, usually you don't go back. So apparently this is often covered by homeowner's insurance. Now there are some interesting problems with that. Say, what if the homeowner is dead and there's no one to file the claim?
Yeah.
And since the party that was paying is dead, then I don't know about you, but having dealt with several insurance companies, that's going to be a problem, because their client's no longer living. So yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if there is. Upon death of the policyholder, the policy ends.
Yeah. So
if I was an insurance company, that's what I'd do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now there, as with many things, this has become a little cottage industry. Accident cleaning and restoration, which is a company that actually does things like this. In fact, there was even a TV show about this. I think it was like Sunshine Cleaners or something like that. I can't remember the actual name, and I didn't really ever see an episode. But yeah, it was about a family that their family business was basically cleaning up after people died.
Well, I mean, it's a business. I mean, wasn't it part of the job that undertakers did for a long time? Wasn't it part of the gig?
Yeah, probably once upon a time. Yeah.
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 Fairly certain it was.
But it is definitely a problem, and it gives rise to, it doesn't solve anything, but it just brings up more questions, a lot more questions, because then you start to wonder, well, how did they die? You know, is there insurance that's going to cover it? Did they have any insurance in the first place? Okay, they didn't have insurance. What's the worst case scenario? Then who's going to deal with it? You know,
one question is, who's the owner of the property now?
Exactly. Well, really, then you get into a condo association thing.
Mm-hmm.
And those are a fucking nightmare.
They are an absolute nightmare, and I pity anybody that lives in a condo. Because think about it. Before it was a condo, it was an apartment building, which means those are apartments. You had maybe a superintendent that would take care of anything. Now that it's a condo, that's all on you. somehow it's on you when the guy four floors above you has his tub leak all the way through the intervening levels in between you. And yet you have to clean up that mess, even though it's the guy way upstairs.
Yeah.
And then you have to then sue him. And then you've got other residents that are involved. And then you got to sue them too. Don't do it, people. Just don't do it. If your apartment building is going condo and they offer you something, just leave.
Leave.
Just
not worth.
It's really not worth it. When something goes bad, it's going to go really bad. And it might not, but it does often. So that's just my two cents. You know, your mileage may vary and probably will. But seriously, it's one building. In fact, a recent story that involved relatives of mine, they're in a 4-unit townhome condo. Okay. And before they went to condo, the roof was one for the entire building. Now that they're condo, each unit has to deal with their own quarter section of a single roof. Okay.
That's just bizarre.
So when one owner decides to redo their roof, then you have this weird seam in between the other units.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, something horrible happened. And basically took out every single unit because one person was foreclosed on, left, and then their apartment had the roof collapse on it. So then everything is coming in and causing water damage to the adjoined units. And, well, they had to move out. But then, the homeowners insurance and the homeowners association and all those other things, that's why you've got, you know, three different insurance companies and one homeowners association. So let's see, we're up to five different lawyers now. And then you have to get your own, of course, because that's not just going to be your insurance company, because you're also going to have to fight with your own insurance company too. So you're dealing with, let's see, four people, four units, four insurance companies, and the condo association. I mean, you're dealing with like 10 attorneys.
And this is going to drag on for ages.
So far, like a year and a half.
Yeah. This is, why would you do that to yourself?
Yeah. And in that time, they're still having to pay on everything. Or just walk away, but they didn't do that. I would have just walked away. It's like, nope, this is done. There's nothing that I can do here.
I'm out.
Yeah. It's like, I gotta go. This isn't gonna work anymore. Yeah. So, and I don't even know how it's all ended up and how you would repair that other than I look at it from a structural issue and it's a single building. It's just been divided into four parts. You got to fix the whole if you want the whole to survive. If you start chopping it up like that, it's not designed to live like that.
It wasn't built that way originally. It's not going
to
work.
Yeah. And you didn't do any retrofitting to fix it.
I'm surprised a building inspector, if they had to get a permit to redo the roof, would have allowed them to do only a portion of the roof.
It happens all the time.
That's where...
Yeah. It happens all the time, though.
Yeah, but it's less a look the municipalities there that they fell through because that shouldn't have been allowed.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that. So let that be a warning to you that if you are ever attached to someone else, their problems will become your problems. That's all I'm saying, and it happens every time, whether it be a noise ordinance thing where they're just keeping you up late at night, or you're starting to smell a dead body next door. Their problems become your problems. So
that goes to say for everything, including personal relationships.
Yes. Yes. There is no way to be in close proximity to another person in any sense of the word without their life infringing on yours.
Yes.
It's just the way it is. That's not necessarily a bad thing. You just have to be prepared for it.
Well, some of the baggage you plan. You know, so some of the intermingling of the personal space bubbles is planned ahead, you know, when you're picking your partner and things like that. But when you're moving into a place and then somebody new moves in and you didn't have to approve them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you've got to deal with their own stink.
Well,
and that's never good from my perspective, that's never good. So, but, you know, we're in a world where we have an awful lot of people. So population density is varying and things like that, but I don't know. So France launched an airstrike against ISIS.
Okay.
I'm not sure why.
United States did too, so that's they're following up.
Sure. Yeah, it's a joint task force. So apparently we're just showing that no one likes you, ISIS. No one. Go away. Which won't work at all.
No.
But you know, that's just me armchair quarterbacking, I suppose. It's not going to work. That's my opinion.
Well, it is an opinion backed up by historical precedent, because every time we go into the region and do something like this, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
For decades now, we've been playing this game. We go in, we bomb a bunch of shit, we arm a bunch of rebels, and then we're back in 5 years later.
Yeah. French jets on Monday began flying reconnaissance missions over Iraq involving Rafales and an ATL-2 surveillance plane.
Whatever the hell that means.
Exactly, yeah. What's weird is that's the last line in the article. I don't
know
if they
told you anymore, they'd have to kill you.
And this is an Associated Press article, so that really just doesn't make it. This is poor writing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Apparently there's a video, so that was more just commentary on the video, but I'm not playing the video because I don't really care about that. So I just figured, oh yes, let's go ahead and at least keep ISIS and ISIL and everybody in the news so that we know that they're still out there, still doing their thing. And
as if we couldn't know, because it's plastered all over everything everywhere.
Yeah, but you know, we have a different, we handle them a little differently here on O'Reilly Radio.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Because
you mentioned the,
yeah. Yeah,
you mentioned the writing. I mean, it does come from Fox News, so.
Oh, no. It's a Fox News headline. However, the actual reporting comes from AP.org.
Yeah.
So all it is a syndicated story. Because really, you pretty much only get news from Associated Press. Because they're the only ones that,
from the networks.
Yeah, because they're the only ones that hire reporters anymore.
Yeah.
Fox News, no. The money's not in reporters. It's in the talking heads that get to spin the news. It's all the spin doctors they hire. That's where they spend all their money. So, yeah.
So much money.
It's ridiculous money. It's stupid money. Follow the stupid money, people. Follow it all the way to Russia, where for some reason a Russian company, Oasis Beverages, has just bought your beloved Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Not my beloved. Don't you don't you insult me like that. That stuff is
PBR, a sub-premium beer brand. That's what the article says, okay?
The most accurate thing I've ever heard.
I didn't
describe PBR.
Yeah, it's sub-premium.
So they're going for the American masses.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yeah, pretty much.
Glorious.
Apparently the company's been in decline for a while, possibly. You know, I haven't really been paying attention to the adult beverage industry as a whole, so I was unaware that they were in decline, but it doesn't surprise me because they're a sub-premium beer brand.
Well, it got to be too mainstream for all the hipsters, so they stopped buying it.
Yeah, well, hipsters have actually become too mainstream for hipsters, and now we've had the decline of hipsters.
How meta is that shit?
It's very meta. It's very meta. The company's declined to disclose the sale price, but beverage industry analysis, hey, there's a job title that I don't have. Estimate the sale at nearly $750 million. That's all?
Yeah. Not
that's all? Sure. You know what? I'm jaded because I've been dealing with tech industries for too long.
Yeah.
Where I think Mojang just sold off to Microsoft for
$2 billion for Minecraft.
$2 billion for essentially a virtual Lego game.
But you know what? It is a really fucking popular virtual Lego game.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
That's not one of the stories, but I suppose it could be. That, my gosh, this, why? 2 billion. Yeah, so you could have bought almost 3 Pabst Blue Ribbons.
Crazy.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, it's interesting when you can start to estimate things in the value quantity of how much this company sold for. Like, how many Instagrams is that? Or how many Oculus Rifts is that? How many Mojangs is that? How many PBRs is that? It's at least a six-pack, dude.
That's going to be a new unit of reference for me, the Mojang.
The Mojang.
I'm using that shit.
There you go. I love doing that, yeah. Besides the familiar Pabst Blue Ribbon label, Pabst Brewing Company makes... you'll love these, because they're all sub-premium beers. Colt 45,
yep.
Old Mill, and Schlitz. Yes.
I've only heard of one of those.
These are all beers that my dad drinks. It also makes regional brews such as Lone Star, Rainier, and Old Style. Now, I like Lone Star, actually, so that's kind of disappointing to me. Kind of. Barely.
Just a little.
When you drink that, we can call you comrade.
Comrade.
Oh dear! Yeah, it's the Lone Star on with the sickle. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Logo change.
Oh,
wow. Okay. Yeah, Rainier and Old Style. Sale comes at a time the U.S. and global beer industries both are dynamically evolving. They are? That's really? News to me. I did not know this.
Dynamically evolving.
Yes, well, okay.
Here's a question for you. A brief question about that very topic.
Okay.
Could anyone looking in from the outside of the beer industry know that it's dynamically evolving? Really? Or, could they? Or are they just pulling shit out of their ass?
Well, here's the thing. This dynamic evolution accounts for maybe 3% of the entire industry. Okay.
Craft, I don't think that fucking counts.
I know. Craft beer in the U.S. has a 7.8% market share, and that's up from 4.9%.
Well, then.
Yeah, that's dynamically evolved.
Yeah. However, the Pabst Brewing Company is not a craft beer label. They are the sub-premium brand.
That fucking stuff.
That makes my day, really. Yeah. This article continues to go on. There's a lot, apparently, to be said about this.
Well, you know, beer is serious business.
Beer is serious business.
We know this.
Yeah.
People take it as an American thing. Even though.
Yeah, an American thing that we got from the English, we got it from the Germans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But people think that it's their beer. American people.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Now, Pabst Brewing has been around for a long time. It is not the oldest brand in the United States, but...
It's pretty old.
It traces its roots back to 1844 in Milwaukee. 1844.
That's why it's Old Milwaukee, which was one of their brands.
Truthiness is involved in that statement. Yeah.
There's truthiness in you.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. So also recently, at least in recent memory, Twinkie, of course, went off the market, right?
Yep. Because, and everyone lost their fucking minds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it just... I'm not even sure the entire story of why Twinkie the kid was hung out to dry. I don't really know.
The company went, had financial troubles and got bought out, and the label was pulled from the shelves while they're in negotiations. And I was working at Walmart at the time.
Yeah.
And we had fucking rushes on Twinkies. These things are fucking disgusting. Why are you people here? But no, we had rushes on Twinkies. We had people fist fighting in the aisles over Twinkies.
That's so stupid. But apparently, one of the companies that picked up Pabst Brewing also invested in food brands, including Twinkie. So, and that would be C. Dean Metropolis and Company. Metropolis.
They sound like they should be in something much, much more high class than Twinkies and PBR.
Yeah. Amazingly enough, though, those really do kind of go together, don't they? Twinkies and PBR.
It's sad because it's true.
Some premium edibles.
Some premium digestibles, yes.
Nice. Now, of course, this is not without precedent where, yes, America, we have our beer and most beer. Okay, let's be honest. All beer did come from the old country. Pretty much everything is based on some German recipe.
In old country.
Yes. In old country, beer brew you. So.
Yeah, but it all came from, I mean, people have been brewing alcoholic beverages for a long, long time.
Yeah.
But a lot of modern beverages can be traced to Germanic and Slavic tribes.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. And also, they did that because that was also a safer way to store water, basically.
Yes.
Because it had enough alcohol content to kill minor bacteria.
Yeah.
Now,
that's why they carried it on ships forever.
And good old grog. You know, we can't trust the water, so pour some rum in it. That'll make it better. Yep.
It worked.
Arr, we're talking like a pirate for this one, Yarr. Of course.
Where was it? Oh, yes. Anheuser-Busch they were also recently, again, in recent memory, along with the Twinkie deal, makers of Budweiser and Bud Light, which are unfortunately two of the most drank brands in America.
Because Americans have no taste.
Yeah, they were also bought by a Belgium company. So now,
hey, maybe it'll improve now.
I wouldn't count on it.
I'm not counting on it. I'm just hopeful.
Yeah. Yeah. So now Pabst accounts for about 3% of the U.S. beer market, which is amazingly large considering that's more than, say, good brands like Samuel Adams, which is actually still considered a craft beer.
Hmm.
Yeah. They're somewhere below 2% of the entire beer market. But thanks to the craft beer industry in general, we have an awful lot of beers to choose from. So, that's good.
And it's glorious thing.
Yes, but life is too short for cheap beer, so sure. I'll be avoiding Pabst anyway, especially now that they've gone red.
I don't know, I think the Ruskies could probably improve upon it, because that shit was garbage.
They will now be made with pure potatoes.
That's good.
Okay with that.
let's see. So in a statement, Oasis chairman Eugene Kasper called Pabst Blue Ribbon the, oh my God, why did he say this? The quote, quintessential American brand. It represents individualism, egalitarianism, and freedom of expression. All the things that make this country great. Kasper will serve as CEO of Pabst Brewing, which will keep its headquarters in Los Angeles. I didn't even know it had its headquarters in Los Angeles, which might explain why they might have had financial problems, because that's a horrible place to have anything based out of.
It also explains why he's such a pretentious douchebag. I mean,
with that statement, yeah.
Listen to that.
So
we should move to Milwaukee.
Yeah, well, everything, all the beers are out of Milwaukee at some point, unless you're the craft beers, and then you're out of everywhere. So that leads us into our last story of the evening, and it is another food-related story.
Hey, we like food.
Now, we were talking about also poor reporting, and now this is a blogger, okay? It is basically an individual story about a reporter that black market purchased a jug of Starbucks pumpkin spiced latte mix off eBay and added it to everything that they ate until the jug was gone. It's a 63 ounce jug, and
they didn't die.
It basically went for a little more than $1 an ounce on eBay.
You're not a real big Starbucks person, are you?
I'm not. Okay. Not really.
I have only
because it's too expensive.
I have some. I'm tangentially related to this whole group of people who fucking love their Starbucks because Jess fucking loves her Starbucks.
Tangentially related, my ass. Yes, carry on.
I don't fucking drink it. I don't drink it because I hate fucking stepping into the place. I think it's full of pretentious douchebags, and I firmly established how I think about pretentious douchebags.
Starbucks in the morning, PBR in the evening.
Oh my god. I might have to punch you in the face. But
I'm not wrong.
No. But this pumpkin spice thing is apparently delicious. It is apparently so delicious, it's like drinking crack cocaine. And people fucking love the pumpkin spice shit. They love it so much that on the first day that it gets released every season, a lot of the stores sell out of the damn thing.
Yes.
People are fucking crazy about this shit.
In the off season, apparently this 63-ounce jug will go for $120.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you can read further down the article where it doesn't taste good.
No, not by itself. It really requires it really requires the steamed milk and the coffee, the bitterness of the coffee to mellow out the nutmeg and the spice.
To even the fuck out.
Yeah. Apparently, it tastes very industrial.
Well, I'm not surprised.
To quote the author of the blog, it tastes very industrial.
Well, it's a mass-produced syrup additive. I'm not surprised that it tastes like you're drinking jet fuel or some shit.
To quote, one sip of the stuff plain confirmed its industrial origins. The syrup had a pungent smell, like the worst potpourri you've ever encountered. It also lingered in a truly unpleasant way, nutmeg and cinnamon coating my mouth for longer than should have been possible. It was just too strong. And it needed to be cut with something, so I poured a bit into a cup of Sumpton Holler Mountain, which I imagine is coffee. And the truth became immediately clear. Without the flavor or structure of the latte's milk foam to counteract the syrup, pumpkin spiced coffee just tastes astringent and perfumed, as if there were some dish soap residue left in the bottom of the coffee cup.
Dish soap residue. Everybody, yeah. I think we can all understand that because everybody's made that mistake once.
Yeah.
Once.
Once. Only once. Yeah. And then I'm going to pre-rinse everything that I do before.
That's what they call a self-correcting mistake.
Yeah, it really is. Yes. So yeah, there is just an enormous desire for pumpkin spice everything, and I am guilty of this because I love pumpkin spice on pretty much everything. You know, if it's pumpkin spice bread, muffins, some candy, but some of the candy certainly tastes like that dish soap residue if you get too much of it. I know that flavor. I know it well.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. He goes on and on and on about how he, let's see. Even as I was hurting and making otherwise good food taste more or less inedible, I felt strangely compelled to continue. It was like pumpkin-spiced Stockholm syndrome, like the latte-craving customers who get off the stuff at Starbucks every morning. I was having issues weaning myself off this nightmare syrup.
Tinfoil hat time. It is actually crack cocaine. What's something addictive in that shit? Wake up, people. Okay, tinfoil hat time done.
I discovered that the pumpkin spice cashew butter was actually pretty good if you mixed it with cream cheese and turned it into a sandwich. That's a lot more. It's like, okay, so basically you hide it with a sandwich. I had to hide it with a sandwich, a whole sandwich.
Oh, boy. Oh,
and he added the cream cheese, which is a dairy product, so maybe it goes better with dairy products.
Yeah, there's got to be a dairy thing in there somewhere.
Let's see. Yeah, hit another wall with pumpkin spiced acorn squash soup, which started off pretty enough. I finished it with some whipped cream, yogurt, and a culinary school worthy zigzag of pumpkin spiced syrup. It tasted like a bowl of autumnal garbage.
Well, one thing I'm noticing about all these little methods of him cooking, it doesn't sound like he's a cook. Because this is stuff you would actually add like to the soup ahead of time and put like a few drops in.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it would be in the base. Because any of these industrial ingredients, you add a little bit, just a little bit to give it a hint.
Anyone who loves sriracha, this
yeah.
guy,
yeah.
knows this. Don't put too much sriracha on your shit.
Yeah.
Unless you want a lot of sriracha.
unless you were prepared to burn the hair off of your feet. and then you just build up your tolerance.
And then elsewhere. Wow. For a few times, you burn off hair elsewhere.
It wasn't all terrible, though. This is not bad, my girlfriend said as she ate some pumpkin spice bacon, which I'd candied in the oven, brushing it midway through the cooking with a little bit of the syrup. The ultimate proof that bacon really can make anything taste better.
It's true. We all know this.
So yes. That is where I'm going to leave this story. Is that
the takeaway here? Bacon makes everything better.
Bacon makes everything better, and too much of anything, except perhaps bacon, is too much.
The only bad part about bacon is it makes you thirsty.
And the whole
artery clogging, heart stopping thing eventually.
Eventually.
But, you know what? We're all choosing how we're going to die. Let me kill myself in peace.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I'm choosing the way I'm going to die, and it's going to be a glorious death with bacon.
Suicide by smoked pork product.
I'm okay with that because it's going to be delicious.
That would be lovely. That would be purely lovely. And checking in on the IRC to see if we actually have anybody that's been paying any attention whatsoever. And nope.
Not today. We got nobody.
Actually, we do have one viewer out there. I'm not sure who the heck they are, but hi.
Who are you, mysterious stranger?
Who are you?
Hello.
There was one caller.
Hello.
There was one caller to our voicemail line, but they did not leave a voicemail.
Wow.
What?
So I'm imagining that it was a wrong number.
Oh. You couldn't let me keep the dream.
I know. But here's
you had to crush my hopes.
Well, here's the dream, folks. Give us a call. 470-222-6759. And if that's too hard to remember, 470 three twos ORLY. Oh, really? That's all I got, okay? And email us, you know, give us some feedback. Tell us if you hate us.
We're okay with that.
I'll address it.
We've made peace with ourselves.
I'll address it. I may not correct it, but I'll address it. It's fine. It's no big deal. And, of course, we're out on Reddit, we're out on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, Tumblr, YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podfeed, Player FM, and probably a few other places that I don't even know about, because that's how the internet works. If it's out there, it's just out there.
Things just go.
Yeah, that's how it is. So please give us some feedback. We want to hear from you because this show is not just really for us to talk all the time. It is to create a conversation. That's the whole purpose behind this show. So we want to hear from you so that we can talk more intelligently about the things you want to hear. And if it's just more cats and things like that, well, I'm probably not going to talk to you. Sorry. Not sorry.
Unless something really funny shows up in the potpourri section.
Yeah, yeah. There are some things that you can talk about, and there's some things that are just complete visual gags, and that's mostly all the cat pictures on the internet are visual gags, and this is a talk show. So yeah. If we can talk about it, we will, and the more crazy, the better, because that's just great fodder.
Absolutely.
So please, again, call us, email us. That would be OReallyRadioPodcast@gmail.com. And of course, you can find every single link you ever could imagine at our website, OReallyRadio.com. That's ORLY radio.com. So that's pretty much all the end stuff. Do we have any picks? I didn't really have anything this week because I was busy getting divorced.
I got a little something.
Yeah.
I went to, well, for those of you who may be in the Orlando area, or may not be, because I have heard of people doing this, traveling from many, many leagues, many miles away to go to this event, this Wednesday was the employee preview night for Halloween Horror Nights 24. Seeing as how my lovely lady love is an employee, I got to go.
Sweet.
And it was very good. I was not too keen on last year, but this year they've stepped up their game again, and it was I had an excellent time. I went by myself just to check out the events because everyone else I knew was busy, but I was like, you know what, I want to get out of the house and just be in an anonymous face in a crowd because work had been shit. But you know what, it was a grand old time, and they did a lot of really cool stuff. They got a lot of product identities. Like they got an Alien versus Predator house, which was great times. They've Ooh, got one okay. based on the new Dracula movie, which looked super cool. So if you're thinking about going, if you are weird like me and you enjoy creepy macabre shit, or you're one of those people who gets the shit scared out of them and loves every second of it, check out Halloween Horror Nights this year at Universal. It's a good time.
Nice. And that would be Universal Orlando, because yes. I think they are doing a Halloween Horror Nights over in the one in California too. I'm not
yes,
sure though.
They do, but I don't know anything about that. I don't know if the events are the same.
No, they're different houses. At least they have been historically.
Yeah. So I cannot speak intelligently about the houses over there, but the stuff here was pretty good.
Excellent. Excellent. Don, you're out in Las Vegas tonight.
Yeah.
What's
not here for a little while. One pick. I know some of the guys I'm working with out here want to do the zip line from the Stratosphere.
Oh dear. Where does that zip line go? Where does that zip line go?
Heard about that? I think it starts like 160 some odd feet up. I can't remember the exact number, but it's in the mid hundreds mm-hmm. of feet up, and it goes for a long ways down over basically go down and right next to traffic, right over people's heads, and zip line all the way down. So apparently there's two. Wow. There's a lower one that's only at like 60 some odd feet. But
yeah, the Stratosphere
sounds kind of like a rush.
The Stratosphere has two rides at the top. One is kind of like this weird tilt-a-whirl thing that actually cantilevers off the side of the building over everything and spins you around like a top. Kind of like a teacups on crack kind of thing. but very high up. I think it was relatively expensive also to get up there and do that. But and then there's they also have I think there's a repelling one in addition to the zip line. I'm not sure. One where they basically just drop you.
I think there is.
Just basically just jump off the building kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then there was another kind of like a weird seesaw kind of ride where there's this rocket ship on a rail and it lifts you up and then drops you back down and you slide almost off the building. Almost. And then they do it a couple more times just to scare the crap out of you. So yeah, if you're out there and you're feeling froggy, go up to the Stratosphere and check that out. Unfortunately, I was in a wheelchair the last time I was there, so.
Oh.
Yeah. Sad face. Oh well.
Mm.
So are you gonna see any of the sites, or are you just work?
Eventually. We're so far it's been work, but we went to a casino last night for dinner and to one of the buffets. Not on the strip, but an off strip one. And probably this weekend we'll go to the strip at some point.
They do have some of the best food ever out in Las Vegas. They absolutely do. So that's where I was introduced to Hash House of Go-Go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shoot. That's out here.
Yes, it is.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. There's also one on International Drive in Orlando, too, which I have not yet been to.
Yes.
But,
I have been to that one, and that one was very, very yummy.
Yeah. Big, big fan of Hash House of Go-Go. So, I'll just put that down as my pick.
Hash House of Go-Go?
Yes.
Yep. Go if you can. I think we've actually talked about that one before.
Yeah, but I haven't actually made a pick, so there it is. So Hash House of Go-Go.
Sage, the chicken and waffles with the sage fried chicken.
Yep. Andy's sage fried chicken and waffles.
Let me see some hands. Who wants chicken and waffles?
This guy right here wants some chicken and waffles.
Yeah. The waffles with full strips of bacon inside.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's like every waffle has like, I think, two or three full strips of bacon in it.
Yeah, and it's
also known
and it's
as doing
the,
it right.
And it's the good thick stuff. Oh yeah. Nom 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 nom.
It's all about the bacon.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Okay. So if you don't have anything left, I guess we can call it quits for the evening, gents.
Alrighty.
All right.
All right, bye everybody, and remember, just, you know, come on out to the website, and if you actually feel like, you know, these guys are actually providing me some entertainment value, you know, I think I might want to help them. You know, you can do that, because we actually do have a Patreon page, which Don is actually our only supporter. Yay, thank you, Don!
Thank you, Don!
Thank you, Don, for reducing my overhead costs.
I figured if somebody started, maybe more would join in.
I'm hoping. So yeah, there's some contributor levels there, and hey, go check it out. And if you hate them all, go ahead and email me, and I'll fix them. But at least that would be feedback. So that'd be nice. Come on. Anyway,
feedback is.
So go out to O'ReillyRadio.com and talk to us. We'll talk to you next week with more.
We will talk back
with more of our madness.
Yes.
So goodbye, everybody. And
later, dudes.
Oh yeah, and as I was saying. I've basically done all the end credits. Everything that I was going to say, I've said. So I'm just going to cut it off.
Cool.
So good night, everyone. This ends our broadcast day.
And this concludes our broadcast day.
Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
It's in the can.
That's right.